Well, as Kathy has said, we are focusing this summer on 1 Timothy 4:12. So if you have your Bible with you, you might want to just turn and open to that scripture, because we're going to be going there every week for the next 7 weeks, because we are just committed to learn about this verse and to understand what it means for you and for me. It says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believer," some say of the believer, in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And you see the signs up here this morning, or the picture frames. They're not signs, are they? Oh, well, correct me. They are picture frames with the focus each week of what we're going to be taking a look at. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote 1 Timothy, of course, and he addressed it to his son in the faith, Timothy. And I'm sure that Paul had the idea of encouraging his protege, Timothy, to exhort and instruct him in his role as a young pastor. Obviously, Timothy was a young man. That's what this verse says. Let no man despise your youth. And apparently he was serving in a congregation that had some older members. And if you are young, perhaps you have a tendency to maybe be a little intimidated by older people, and especially if you have been given the role of leadership. And yet, Paul said, don't let your youth hinder you. Don't let your youth be a detriment. Don't let your youth cause you to feel intimidated or be discouraged, because God has put you there. And on the other hand, if we are older, and I volunteer, I'm there, we need to be careful that we don't put restrictions, or that we don't tend to reject the instruction from a younger brother or sister in the faith. So there's lessons on both sides, isn't there? I mean, when I was young, which it was one day, I really was, you do tend, if you're in a discussion group, we have Joyful Life discussion groups, sometimes the younger gals tend to be a little maybe hesitant. Don't. Just share. Just be yourself. Let no one despise your youth. However, then the exhortation, but be an example of the believer. So we're all challenged to continue to grow and mature and be that example. Timothy was being watched, and ladies, you are being watched. I am being watched. Now, the areas that Paul specifically addressed are essential for us to model today as well. In word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And each week we're going to focus on this. Kathy has mentioned that. We're to become and develop these qualities, these characteristics in our lives to bring glory to God and to influence others for Christ. Albert Schweitzer said this about being an example. Example is not the main thing in influencing others. It's the only thing. Found that fascinating. But before we think about your example and my example to others, let's stop and think about who influenced us. Each of you, I'm sure, can think of someone who influenced your life, who made an impact, who helped you to become who you are today. So who would that person be? Who comes to your mind? Can you think of a person that perhaps in your youth, perhaps in your childhood, who contributed to make you who you are today? What is it about that individual that causes you to single her out, him or her out, as an instrument of God to affect, to shape your life? Perhaps your thoughts go back to elementary school or to a Sunday school class, and you have a teacher that immediately comes to your mind. When I was in the fifth grade, I had a teacher, and her name was Mrs. Clark. I don't think she was any relationship to Terry and Nancy, but she could have been, or to Kathy Clark, one of our leaders here. But Mrs. Clark started every day our classroom quoting Psalm 1. Every day, that's what she began our classroom with. It wasn't very long until every student in that classroom knew that life-changing psalm by heart. I wish we could do that in public school still today, don't you? Times have changed since I was in elementary school, and not so much for good, but rather for the negative. But not only was she a godly woman, she was an excellent teacher. And during that fifth grade of my education, my learning abilities turned completely around. I was a very poor student until that time. I don't even know what she did, how she did it, but God used her to help me turn around my education or my learning abilities throughout the rest of my education. Perhaps your example is a friend or a neighbor or a relative, even a parent or a grandparent. It could really be anyone, couldn't it? And it also could be a missionary. We're having a missionary focus each week this summer. The biographies of godly women can influence your life. They can influence my life. They have the potential to inspire us and to change the course of our life. I hope you'll choose one. Kathy mentioned Ann Judson today, and I hope you'll choose one of the ones that we focus or someone else as you journey through this summer. Do a little research. Study all you can and learn about these marvelous women. And Kathy even mentioned that Ann Judson considered herself an ordinary woman. And I believe every one of these missionary women considered themselves ordinary. But do you know that God uses the ordinary in order to do an extraordinary work? That is, if we yield to him and if we are willing to be in, you know, his plan and his will, submission to him. Now, as you think a moment about Ann Judson, it was interesting that the first week we're thinking about Ann, and as Kathy mentioned, she was the first American missionary to go overseas. She and her husband were the first American to establish a mission in the Far East. And they were also, in the United States, were instruments in God's hand to awaken the Baptist Church in America. When I was 10 years old, I was saved in a Southern Baptist church in Florida. And as I think about Ann, the name Judson just immediately popped into my mind because the name Judson was still honored and respected. And even though they had died 100 years prior to this, or more than, in fact, today, as a testament of their lives, the Judson Press is still in business as a nonprofit Christian publishing company. And to me, that's a testament. Judson Press, the name has remained. And so, do you think that Ann Judson knew the long-lasting impact her life would have? I doubt it. Probably none of these missionaries would have ever imagined the impact that changed lives through their own person, through God using them in their submission to him. Now, if I were to tell you about the main key person in my life that influenced me the most at an early age, it would have to be my mother. And I'm not alone in choosing my mother. How many of you would choose your mother? That's the first person that came to your mind. Quite a few of you. And so many famous people contribute their development, their skills, their life, really, the direction of their lives to their mothers. George Washington said, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw, and I am all that I am, rather, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." That's George Washington's summation of his mother. Now, my mother was a godly woman as well, although in her young adulthood, she strayed away from her roots and from her foundation of Christianity, from her family. But from my earliest recollection, She personified love. She was full of good works, served in the church, and she spoke kind words to everyone she met. Now, my mother was also a single mother of two when I was in her womb, and my father died suddenly of pneumonia, actually. They didn't have penicillin in those days. Now I'm really dating myself. But so my mother became this widow and a single mom at very early age. I'm sure she was in her early 30s. She raised my sister and me during the latter part of the Great Depression and through to the end of World War II. She endured much hardship and difficulties, but that led her back to the roots of her faith in Jesus. She grew in faith and character and set a godly example for my sister and me. She was a seamstress. She was a singer. She was a faithful and loving homemaker, a gardener, both vegetables and flowers. I remember helping Mom can vegetables and fruit. But mostly, my mom shined the love of Jesus. She remarried when I was 7, and she set an example then as a wife and as a mother, and she taught us to respect one another in the home, including my new stepdad. One thing that I'll tell you about is she insisted, I don't think this happens much anymore, but she insisted that we all wait until Daddy got home to sit down and eat at, in the Florida, you call it the supper table. We're a little more cultured now. We call it the dinner table. And I remember waiting, watching at the window, waiting to see my dad's car arrive so that we could finally eat because we were so hungry. But Mother insisted on doing that. My dad had owned a one-chair barbershop and a little distance from our house, and he used to comment that people have a habit of waiting till 5 or 10 minutes before closing time to come and get a haircut. And since he was the only one there, he waited and served all the customers. And so we never knew exactly what time that my dad would be home. So, but to me, that was instruction in respect, and respect for the head of the household, respect for her husband and our father, and the importance of family life. When then as they grew in their relationship and as we grew as a family, we learned to, again, communicate with one another, forgive one another, and love one another, serve one another. Someone remarked at my mother's memorial that they had never heard her say a negative word about anyone. I wish that that could be said of myself. I suggest you think about who influenced you as a child or a young adult. And I would encourage you to make it a matter of conversation. If you're going out to lunch together, I wish we had time for you to turn right now to your neighbor and mention the person and why that person had such a strong influence in your life. And don't forget to thank the Lord for that person who has affected you, who's impacted you such a strong way. Perhaps you could even take time to use 1 Timothy 4:12 as a guide and think of a different person for each aspect of this verse. Who was the greatest example or the best example for you in word? Word is so important, isn't it? What we say, what we do, and as far as our speech is concerned. In conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity, each of you, if you took the time, could come up with your own example. And I think that that would be an inspiration to you and a reflection of God's faithfulness to you as well. Now, each week, again, for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be, different speakers will be focusing on one of these attributes or characteristics. And then Kathy is going to summarize and close us out on that eighth week, counting today. It should be a great summer study, and I hope that you are building excitement and that you can come when you can. The beauty of the summer study is if you go on vacation, you it's okay. It's not like you lose a sequence like we do in the fall in a Bible study. But again, as Kathy's mentioned, it's live on the internet. And of course, the CDs or the DVDs, I'm not sure which one they're doing in the chapel store, they too will be available. So you can catch up later. But I'm excited about the speakers we're having coming. Kathy and I are the only ones that are from Costa Mesa. And Jasmine, before she went to England to spend time with her family this summer, she lined up all the speakers, she lined up all the musicians, and so we're going to have the benefit of what Jasmine has laid the groundwork. And I'm excited. Next week, Joy Welch is coming from Refuge Calvary. Ingalil Guzik is coming. And I may not have the sequence quite right, but I think she's the third week. And I don't know if you know who Ingalil Guzik is, but David Guzik is her husband. So he's famous. And she is famous too. She is coming from, I think they're up in Santa Barbara, is that right? And of course he has a Calvary up there. And we use his, do you recognize that name? We use his commentaries in Joyful Life. So he's a scholar. And I'm sure she is too. We're excited. And then Andrea Yim, whose husband recently passed away, we were praying for them. She is coming to share with us. And that's just a taste of what we're going to have. So I'm excited. And I hope you'll make every effort to come every Friday, because it should be a great learning experience as we learn how to become those godly examples that God wants us to be for others. Now, of course, we know that they're both positive and negative examples, don't we? During adolescence, our son one time commented to his sister, "Why is it that I get in so much trouble with our parents and you don't?" And though she was 18 months his senior, she said wisely to him, "Well, it's because I watch what you do that gets you in trouble and I don't do it." Sherry was a wise girl then, she's a wise girl today. And so Mark was a little slower learner, which I think he took after me. But isn't that true? If we watch those around us, even negative examples can cause us to make the right choices. I pray that both of us, both you and myself, will learn what not to do from all those not-so-godly examples all around us. Now, think about others who've inspired your life, who've challenged you to be an example. I love the Bible's replete with human examples. Ask yourself, make it a conversation when you go to lunch today. Ask your friend, who is your favorite Bible character? Who is it that you just immediately think of as an example that you want to be like, or someone who really ministers that enthusiasm for God and their commitment to God? Now, if you do that, I would encourage you not only to do it with your friend, but do it around your family table. Ask your kids, ask your grandkids, who is your favorite Bible character, but ask them why. It's a stimulating discussion. So there's so many things and so many people in the Bible, both negative and positive, that we can learn from and follow their example or not follow their example. And of course, Jesus is the greatest example of all. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children." Children imitate their parents. "Live a life filled with love." Here it is, following the example of Christ. Then jumping down to verse 15, it says, "So be careful how you live." But we are exhorted here in Ephesians 5, 1, to imitate God. Now, how is that possible, ladies? Without the Holy Spirit, it is impossible. But we have the Holy Spirit in us. If you're born again today, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and you can imitate God. Now, I want you to think about something else, because I'm going to drink a water. We want to remember always that Jesus is our foremost example. We need to look in the Word. We can study Jesus' words. We can observe his conduct. We can contemplate his love and his spirit. We can consider his faith and his purity. Then we'll be awed, inspired, challenged, and powerfully influenced by the life of Jesus. And if you forget everything else I've said today, remember that Jesus is always your first and foremost example, and that we should want him to be the supreme one in our lives, that we copy, that we imitate. Because of the gracious work of the Holy Spirit, we can be transformed into his image. So let's now move from who has influenced your life to the question of your example. Whose life are you affecting? Again, our verse. In the King James, it says, "Be thou an example to the believer." The word thou, obviously, it sort of, when you stop and think about it, it really catches our attention, because this is directed to you. This is directed to me. Knox translation says, "Make thyself a model for the faithful." This is God's command to you and to me. We have no excuses. We don't get off the hook, ladies. You and I are to become examples to the believer, or of the believer, as some versions say. So it doesn't matter how young you are, or how old you are, how timid you are, how limited, how deficient, how insecure, or how weak you and I may be. God can use us, and he wants us to become those examples. Even a new believer is an example. I love it in discussion groups when we get a new believer in Joyful Life. Her enthusiasm, her zeal for the Lord, her joy is contagious, and we don't want to lose that. We want that, have that all the way through. But new believers have an effect. They have an influence. So let's you and I accept the challenge and become the example of the believer. Again, throughout our entire lives, we are to be an example. Williams says it like this: but always set an example for believers. Maybe you're the youngest one here today. I'm not going to ask who's the youngest, who's the oldest. We're not going to do that. But maybe you are in the audience today, and you sense, like, you see everyone around you and you're thinking, boy, this is an old group. If you are the youngest one here, there are people watching you. Your friends are watching you, and they watch what you say. They watch your conduct. They watch your life choices. They watch your attitude. They watch your activities, the choices you make. Others are watching you, and don't forget that. Remember that. Now, if you're the oldest person here, and I don't see any volunteers of hands in that either category either. However, you don't escape. There's no excuse. The oldest person in this room, others are watching you. You can have a powerful influence and effect on those around you. Everyone in this room, listening to the sound of my voice, you are an example. Someone is watching you. We have the wonderful opportunity and the great privilege to be an example to those around us. But you may be thinking, well, who's watching me? Hebrews 12:1 says this: we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Now, I must hasten to say that Bible expositors have differing opinions to who those witnesses might be, because the word witnesses in the Greek means martyrs. So some have come to the conclusion that they think that it's the heroes of chapter 11 who are watching, whereas Pastor Chuck and a few others say that it means these martyrs are witnesses or examples of to us of life and faith and perseverance. But we do know from Ephesians 3:10 that God says this: God's purpose in all of this It's talking about the church, the Jews and the Gentiles being united in the church prior, the verses prior to that. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom and his rich variety and its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So the truth is, the church is being watched. Each of us as individuals make up the church. So we are being observed, not only by the angels, but by people all around, as I've suggested. So you may be say, who, me? Yes, you. People are watching you. Are you a single woman? Your friends are watching you. They're observing your life, again, your choices, your attitudes, your conduct, your purity. You are setting an example. What kind is it? Well, that's for you to ask the Lord and examine your heart. Is it one, though, that others could follow without hesitation or regret? Are you an employee? Your coworkers are watching you. They see your responses to circumstances and your interaction with coworkers. They notice your work ethic, and they hear your conversation and observe your attitudes. You know, they know, rather, if you are a woman of integrity. Or are you a mom? Abraham Lincoln said this about his mom. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. Thomas Edison said about his mother, my mother was the making of me. She was so true, so sure of me, and I felt I had something to live for, someone I must not disappoint. Now, moms, you know your children are watching you, especially when they're little. They pick up your mannerisms. They copy your words. Because listen carefully to them when they're playing, and you will know. Because they repeat what you have said to them and sometimes even mimic your tone of voice. They are good at hearing what you say, and sometimes it's scary when they repeat things and the way in which you've spoken, the tone of your voice. But it's interesting to think about. They will also copy your songs of praise. They will also copy your prayers and your godly example. So what kind of example are you setting to your kids? Again, they're always watching and listening and observing, Mom. Would you be sad or ashamed if they follow your path? Because mothers impact their kids' lives. There are many famous Christian mothers. I thought of Susanna Wesley immediately with her two sons that were powerful influences and Christians. But I pulled up on the internet throughout history since Christ, for every century we have lived, I could find names of prominent Christian women who impacted the world and the church by their examples. I found 5 pages of just names, no biography, just names on this research. You and I don't know how God will use our children, but we do know that we set the example for them and they look up to us. The Phillips version of 1 Timothy 4:12 says, they look up to you because you are an example to them. And isn't that especially true of moms? Are you a wife? Your husband is watching you, and especially unbelieving husbands. 1 Peter 3:1-2 says this, wives, be submissive to your husbands, that even if, this is key, some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Here's the verse, or the phrase, when they observe, that is the husbands, observe your chaste conduct coupled with fear, and that is reverence, fear for the Lord, fear of God. Talk about being an example that makes a difference in the life of another person. This is an amazing promise. And if you're here today as a wife of an unbelieving husband, I encourage you to study further in this chapter because there's further instruction and helpful guidance for us that we might become the one who, without a word of ours, our husbands can be won to obedience to Christ. Let that be a source of encouragement to you married women. Are you in leadership? Your example is extremely important. In Joyful Life, we always stress this to our leaders. Many are watching you, people you don't even know are watching you, people who watch you when you're out in public and you don't even know that they know you because you don't know who they are. They are watching you. So if you hold a place of leadership or you aspire to a place of leadership, you have a great responsibility to be an example of the believer because others are watching you. So are you in leadership today in Joyful Life? Or perhaps you're in intercessory prayer, our Monday intercessory prayer group, or some other intercessory prayer ministry? Or perhaps you're involved in children's or youth ministries in leadership? Do you have a platform ministry, such as a musician or a speaker? Are you in a leadership position in any fashion, whether it's the singles ministry, the couples ministry, you teach in a classroom? You are a leader. And God's word gives leaders an even higher calling, a higher standard, if you will, of accountability for the way that we live, for our witness, for our example. So as a Christian leader, you have the wonderful and powerful opportunity to influence so many for Christ. And so therefore, you can either be a godly example or you can cause someone to stumble or influence in them to fall. That's very serious, isn't it? Because we need to think about these things. Now, are you a senior, a widow, or a grandma? Again, you're not off the hook. It's a wonderful time in your life to make a difference in the lives of others, whether it's a family member, a neighbor, a friend, a young Christian, a new believer, or mentoring someone who's coming back into the faith, or even the person sitting next to you in church. You can affect them through your prayers, through your example. As a senior, what kind of legacy are you leaving for others? Are you sowing seeds of love, of joy, of peace, of faith, of comfort? Again, there's positive and negative examples. Are you a grumbling, complaining senior about your aches and your pains and the challenging of aging? Yes, aging isn't for sissies, Diana Brocade said to me one time. And it is true. However, is that our focus as we age? It should not be. Because God has a purpose for each day that he gives us, life and breath. When I was thinking about an older person and how negative and how we can throw a damper on things, we can be a negative example, but God wants us to be a positive example. I couldn't help but think about, it just floated in my head, this probably I should have not thought about it, but the point was that I thought about Minnie Pearl. Many years ago, I was pulled into a skit to exemplify Minnie Pearl and her negative attitude. And so, some of you are way too young to even know who Minnie Pearl is, but I'll give you a little background on who she is. She was an older woman who was a part of the Grand Ole Opry for many, many years out of Nashville, Tennessee. And so when, you know, you used to watch, if you did, and maybe in the South, they watched the Grand Ole Opry. And so Minnie Pearl would come out in her frumpy clothes, wearing a hat with still the price tag hanging on it. So if you can picture this, I did this. Now, I don't know how many years ago, but once in a while, I'll sing this little song to Kay, and she loves it. She laughs, because when we get in the old doldrums, like, oh, da, 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 blah, blah, you know, all that kind of stuff, then I start singing these little song, this hymn. It's not a hymn, this chorus. And Kay will say, Glenda, you've got to do that again sometime. So do I dare? Kay loves it. It's kind of stuck there in her brain. But anyway, so here you have Minnie Pearl. Gloom, despair, and agony, oh me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony, oh me.
Oh, dear. You're very kind.
I had tried to get the nasal thing going, but I've always had a little trouble with... I do have sinuses, so that might help today. But isn't that characteristic sometime of our attitude, young or old? It doesn't have to be. You don't have to be a senior to be in those gloomy places or the negative, you know, focus on our life. Let's be an example of joy. Let's be an example of peace. And really, when we have those things that come upon us, when we surrender them to Jesus and realize how big God is, we have no reason to be gloomy, to despairing, and to be depressed. So God has a purpose for you and for me. He wants to use us for His glory and leave a mark on the next generation. Now, I am so blessed by Al and Cecilia Newdeck. Do you know who they are? They are in their, aren't they all marvelous? They're in their 80s in our church, and Al continues to go regularly to deliver Bibles in China. Cecilia went with him for a long, many, many years. She stays back by the stuff for the most part now and prays. They are such a godly example as seniors to me and to many others. And I think of Olga Robertson. Olga also is in her 80s. And Olga continues to impact and influence the life of her boys in the Philippine prisons. Her night and day prayers, when she can't travel the distance, still impact, influence these men, young and old. I thank God for Olga, for all these seniors who give their lives and who walk in that truth. So what kind of example are you setting for those who are watching you? Several places in Scripture, we are admonished to examine ourselves. So if you're not pleased with your example today, if the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart, don't give up. Don't be discouraged. God can give you and me a fresh start. I like to call it an exit plan. Recently, when I was on an airplane, I thought about how every airplane you ride on, no matter how many times you've flown, they always have to tell you where the exits are. It's a law. They have to mark clearly, show the passengers where the exits are. The same is true in a public building. Exits are always marked clearly for you and for me so that we know how to get out. God has also planned and prepared and marked exits for you and for me when we're on a path that isn't good. Now, 1 Corinthians 10:13 is the verse that reminds me, clarifies this for me. So when we get in a situation that we need to get out of, or if we're in a pattern that we need to get out of, God says He'll make a way of escape. So if you're not walking in obedience to God's word today, or if you aren't walking in purity, if you're not walking in love, go immediately to the exit. By the grace of God, you and I can get out. We don't have to stay trapped there. God has made a way of escape. So we can make a fresh start. However, we need to get off. We need to exit the path we're on in order to do that. We may need to stop what we're doing, to quit a certain activity, to stop that bad habit, or eliminate a particular mindset or attitude. But God's grace is promised to you and to me. His grace is sufficient for everything. That's because of the power of the cross. You and I can be set free. We have an exit plan for getting free of those things that cause us to be a negative or a bad example. The Holy Spirit, first of all, shows us what's wrong. Then when we confess and repent of it, that is, we acknowledge what we're doing is wrong and we don't want to be there, then we choose to turn away. That's what repentance means, turn away from that thing or that attitude. Then we need to surrender it to God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And He will humbly ask Him to help you, to strengthen you, to walk in the Spirit. So again, if you haven't been the kind of example you should have been, you can start today. You can become the example of the believers. I want to close with just asking just a few more brief questions. Who are you looking to as a role model? especially you younger ladies. Who do you admire and respect? Who is your hero or heroine? Who do you idolize? A rock star? An entertainer? A Hollywood star? A high-powered female attorney? A businesswoman? Why? Why do you admire these types of women? Why do you want to emulate them? Why do you want to look like them? Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what's in your heart. If these are the type of women that you want to emulate, ask the Lord to examine and change your heart, to give you that godly focus. Ask Him to open your eyes to see the importance of making Jesus your hero, making Jesus your role model. Ask the Lord to, again, change your heart, to change your focus and move it toward the spiritual, toward the godly, that what counts for eternity. Ask the Lord to do that. Romans 12:2 in the New Living says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." Make a decision, therefore, to read your Bible, to pray, to fellowship with other believers, and then watch for, look for those godly examples to follow. Read the Christian biographies, which we suggested. And again, look around you for those that you can admire for their courage, for their fortitude, for their passion, for those who've overcome obstacles and handicaps in order to become all that God intends. We've seen maybe you've read the book. I haven't read the book of the gentleman who has no arms and legs, and yet he's powerfully being used as an example of Jesus. That's remarkable to me. And you think you and I have handicaps? Use that as a goal, as a role model. So if we yield ourselves to God and His will, He will make us into those godly examples. Kay Smith is probably one of the most significant examples for me in so many ways. Kay has inspired me through her passion for Jesus, her love for women, her devotion in ministry, her enthusiasm for the Word of God time and time again. When I have been studying or been preparing for writing a lesson or being involved in a lesson, I'm just kind of trudging through. And I talk to Kay on the phone or just see her in the office or whatever. And she would look at the same passage I was looking at, and her passion, her enthusiasm, her excitement for the Word would just totally lift me up. It would inspire me. It would just cause me to feel like, well, where have I been? What have I missed? Because she had, it was genuine. It was from her heart, her enthusiasm for the Word and her passion for Jesus, as well as her compassion for the lost and the hurting. That's how the Jesus movement began, was her compassion. I'd like to see others the same way that Kay saw Jesus. I need and want more of these qualities in my life. So it's not, ladies, too difficult to find godly examples, but our challenge is to become that godly example that God wants us to be, that we can influence, that we can impact, that others will be free and wanting to follow us. So I'm going to wrap it up by saying it starts with a desire to be that kind of example and to be all that God wants you and me to be. Then it requires a full surrender. That's what Romans 12:1 talks about. You know, give yourself. I beseech you, Paul says, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice unto God. That's what it requires. We must, first of all, have that desire and then surrender. And then from there, God does the supernatural work in us by His Spirit. We can't change ourselves, but God, by His Spirit, when we are willing, when we're yielded with that surrender, He changes you and me. So by His power, He makes us and shapes us into the image of Christ. Because remember the promise, as we behold Jesus, we become transformed day by day more and more into the image of Christ. That's a beautiful promise. But first we have to behold him. First we have to come to him. First we submit to him. And by his grace, through his power of the Spirit, then he continues to make us and to change us and to mold and shape us into those godly examples that he wants us to be. Again, none of you, I don't get a pass, you don't get a pass, none are exempt. The Lord has called us through the Apostle Paul as he spoke to Timothy and church-wide. He's called us, encouraged us, and challenged us, and by his grace he equips us to become the example of the believer. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have given us everything we need for life and godliness. We thank you, Lord, for the godly examples of those who've gone before us, Lord, those individuals you've put in our lives, Lord, that you've put in our path, who've influenced us, Lord. We thank you for that. That's your sovereign work of grace. Father, we thank you that you are committed to us to make us and form us and shape us into Christ's likeness, Lord, that we could become those examples. And then, Lord, we have to confess that we've come so far short. Lord, we failed in so many ways. But thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, for that you're the God of second and third and fourth and fifth chances. Lord, you never give up on us. And Lord, I just pray that today in this room that each of us would give a full and new surrender to you, Lord. And we confess those things in our lives, whether it's words or conduct or deed or whatever activities, Lord, that we're doing that are not setting that godly example to those who are watching. So God, make us ever mindful that we represent you wherever we go, and that we would be willing to be those instruments in your hand to touch and affect a new generation for you. Those that are around about us, God, wherever we are, our sphere of influence, Lord, make us what you want us to be. And we thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. We love you, Jesus. We thank you that you've given us your phone number, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. We love you, Jesus. Amen.